प्रभुपाद 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 जय जय प्रभुपाद 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 जय जय प्रभुपाद। श्री हरि नाम संकीर्तन की परंतरा श्रीमद् भागवतम महापुराण की अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की जय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम अज्ञान तिमिरांधस्य ज्ञानांजना शलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्री गुरवे नमः। श्री चैतन्य मनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपः कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदांतिकं। वंदेहं श्रीगुरो श्रीयुतपदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं सागरजातं सहगण रघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधा कृष्णपादान् सहगणललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च। हे कृष्ण करुणा सिंधो दीनबंधो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमोस्तुते। तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये। वांछाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। नमः ओम विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदांत स्वामिनिति नामिने। नमस्ते सरस्वते देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देशतारिणे। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासदि गौर भक्तवृंद। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा। सो टुडे वी आर डिस्कसिंग कैंटो 5 चैप्टर 11 जड़ भरत इंस्ट्रक्ट्स किंग रहुगण टेक्स्ट 9 एंड 10। सो आई थिंक वी विल रीड टेक्स्ट 9। इज इट रिटन ऑन द बोर्ड? नो। एकादश इलेवन आसन देर आर मनसः ऑफ द माइंड ही सर्टनली वृत्तयः एक्टिविटीज आकूतयः सेंसेस ऑफ एक्शन पंच फाइव धियः सेंसेस फॉर गैदरिंग नॉलेज अभिमानः the false ego, matrani, different sense objects, karmani, different material activities, puramcha, and the body, society, nation, family or place of nativity, tasam, of those functions, vadanti, they say, ह ओ एकादश इलेवन वीर ओ हीरो भूमि ही फील्ड्स ऑफ एक्टिविटी एकादशासन मनसो ही वृत्तया आकूतयः पंच धियोभिमानः मात्राणि कर्माणि पुरं च तासां वदन्ति हैकादश वीरभूमिः एकादशासन् मनसो हि वृत्तयः आकूतयः पञ्च धियोभिमानः मात्राणि कर्माणि पुरं च तासां वदन्ति एकादश वीरभूमिः. Somebody. एकादशासन् मनसो हि वृत्तयः आकूतयः पञ्च धियोऽभिमानः मात्राणि कर्माणि पुरं च तासां वदन्ति एकादश वीरभूमिः. सो ट्रांसलेशन एंड परपोर्ट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद की. Translation, there are five working senses and five knowledge gathering senses, knowledge acquiring senses. There is also the false ego. In this way, there are 11 items for the mind's functions. O hero, the objects of the senses such as sound and touch, the organic activities, means activities performed by organs, such as evacuation, etc. And at different types of bodies, society, friendship and personality are considered by learned scholars the field of activity for the functions of the mind. Purport. The mind is the controller of five knowledge acquiring senses and the five working senses. Each sense has its particular field of activity. In all cases, the mind is the controller or owner. By the false ego, one thinks oneself the body and thinks in terms of my body, my house, my family, my society, my nation, and so on. These false identifications are due to the expansions of the false ego. Thus one thinks that he is this or that. Thus the living entity becomes entangled in material existence. So we are also going to see the next verse, but let's focus on this purport right now. So how does one come to identify with this body or anything related to this body? Nation, society or family. That is explained by Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur in Srimad Bhagavatam, where he mentions there are five things that happen. Avidya, Asmita, Rag, Dvesh and Abhinivesh. Avidya means ignorance of the real self. This is the first thing that happens to the soul, that he forgets that he is Krishna's servant. He forgets his spiritual connection by the power of avidya. So, Krishna bhuliya jeev anadi bahirmukh atayeva maya tare de samsar dukh. So, by forgetting Krishna from time immemorial, what does he designated as? Anadi bahirmukh. Turned his back towards Krishna. Okay. So Krishna is always there for him, but he has turned his back towards Krishna. So atayeva maya tare de samsara dukh. What is the function of maya? To give him miseries of material pangs. Why? Because is she sadist or something? You know, sadist means somebody who takes pleasure in giving pain to somebody else. So that's not Maya Devi, she is also servant of Krishna, but she wants the soul to awake himself, awaken up, like, you know, so awake to the reality, and therefore this is like a wake up alarm. The pains and the miseries that I experience is like a wake up alarm. Jiva jago, jiva jago, Gora Chandra bole. So, okay, the guru, sadhu, they are the direct, they are the direct representations of Krishna, who are also awaking us by the positive instructions. But Maya also is doing her job very nicely by giving us miseries, which is kind of negative reminder. And there is one positive reminder and there is one negative reminder. So Maya also has this task. So avidya. Then comes asmita. So the soul cannot be without identity. So because Jai Shri Radha Vrindavan Bihari Bhagwan ki jai, Shri Gauranga Mahaprabhu ki jai. Because the avidya covers the real identity, So the soul has to have some identity. So that is asmita. I am somebody in the relationship with this matter. So that is false identification. And then comes raga. To maintain that identification, I need to like something, I need to dislike something. That nourishes my identity, false identity. Suppose I am... Therefore, if you see in the social media, there are so many likes and dislikes, and you know, that naturally nourishes the false identity. I am somebody, so therefore I need to like something material and I need to dislike some other material, right? Raga means attachment or likings within the material fold, within the material domain. So how do I nourish my identity or reinforce my identity, false identity? So when I consider, I am the person who likes rasgulla and I am the person who dislikes karela sabji, let's say. So this liking and disliking, what does it do? Keeps me within the material world, keeps my tendencies attached to this world. And that is called abhinivesh, the fifth thing. Abhinivesh is absorption. Doesn't let me come out of it. So therefore Krishna, first thing he is telling is samatvam yoga uchyate. A devotee learns to calculate not in terms of matter, but in terms of what is favorable for devotion and what is unfavorable for devotion. So that is samatvam. There is one beautiful shloka in Padyavali by Rupa Goswami, which begins like anuchitam uchitam va karma koyam vibhago. It starts with that. I don't know whether I recall the whole thing. Let me check. Anuchitam uchitam va karma koyam vibhago bhagavati yadi astam bhakti yoga dradiyan kirati vishamahindro sandra piyushamindu. What is that last line? I forgot. Nirvishesham vibharti. So it says that for a devotee, what is uchit or anuchit, appropriate, inappropriate, auspicious, inauspicious, this duality doesn't exist for him because it doesn't calculate in terms of material liking and disliking. Material liking and disliking is due to my past favorable or materially unfavorable contact with this world. But devotee learns or practices to calculate in terms of what is best for my devotional service, what is not. So if some activity which is materially inauspicious but yet becomes very auspicious for devotional service. For example, from tomorrow onwards, what is starting? From tomorrow onwards, Purushottam Mas, Adhik Mas. So for Karma Kandis, it's considered the worst time period. But for devotees, it is the best one. Considered more powerful than Kartik. So that is one example right away. So, anuchitam uchitam va karma koyam vibhago. What is auspicious and what is inauspicious for for somebody who is practicing devotional service. And the example is given, very beautiful example. Just like Lord Shiva, he has two very two paraphernalia which are completely opposite natured. What is that? Kirati Visha Mahindra. He is wrapping a very poisonous deadly snake around his neck. And Chandramouli, you must have heard the name. Chandramouli, the crescent of moon on his matted hair. So, Kirati Visha Mahindra Sandra Piyusham Indu. The moon, it emanates condensed nectar. and the snake is emanating vicious poison. But nirvishesham bivarti. Sa Maheshaha, Mahesha means Lord Shiva, nirvishesham bivarti. He doesn't care whether moon is emanating nectar. He doesn't care whether the snake is emanating poison. He is equal in that. Because his abhinivesh is in Krishna. His abhinivesh is in Krishna. Even the snakes that he is wearing reminds him of whom? Huh? Anantasheshe, right. Sankarshan. And moon reminds him of whom? Krishna Chandra. So this is exactly we are discussing how the mind gets trapped into this material world, and this process can be reverse engineered, and one can, with the same process, one can get out of this material world also. As Srila Prabhupada says, by desire we came to this material world, and by desire we go out. Simply by properly desiring. It's all the soul, all that soul can do is desire. And the whole Shastra, Guru Parampara, is to train us what to desire and how to desire. That's the only thing. It's all desire management. For disaster management. The whole program is for desire management. What do I desire throughout the day, moment to moment, 24/7, 365 days in a whole life? What do I desire? So first I become aware that my current desires are not working in my favor. They are not working for my good. They are only letting me down. So the Shastras are to train me that, okay, desire Krishna and Krishna's service. So, Shri Krishna Sevanam Rute Na Sukham Kadapi. Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami writes, Vrindavane Kimathava Nijamandireva. Whether I stay in Vrindavan or whether I stay in my own house. Kara Gruhe Kimathava Kanakasaneva. Whether I stay in the prison or whether I sit on a throne, golden throne. Kanakasaneva. Aindram Bhaje Kimathava Narakam Bhajami. Aindram is Swarga. Indra's planet, Aindra. It's a Tadhit. So, whether I go to heavens or heavenly situation or hellish situation, Shri Krishna Sevanam Rute Inna Sukham Kadapi. One thing is guaranteed, without Krishna's service, there is no happiness. Wherever I stay, without Krishna consciousness, there is no happiness. So, when mind is convinced, right now the intelligence is convinced. For a sadhaka, intelligence is convinced, yes, by shruti, yukti and swanubhuti, I am convinced. Shruti means whatever I have heard from great souls, that is shruti, scriptures. Yukti means even by logic one can understand. And swanubhuti, by my own experience, I also understand that this material world is miserable and Krishna is the ultimate bliss. His service is the ultimate bliss. So this much I know from Shruti, Smriti, Shruti, Yukti and Swanubhuti. So right now the intelligence is convinced, but mind is not yet convinced. So mind thinks that, oh, something maybe I am missing. Maybe I didn't try it in proper way to enjoy. Maybe there is a proper way of enjoying matter which I missed. But that is not, that is a trick of Maya. And therefore, why I am not able to experience the bliss of devotional service? Because my mind is somewhere else. My mind is not properly convinced. Intellectually, yes, I am convinced. Therefore, I have come to devotional service and like, you know. But why I am not able to experience the bliss which is guaranteed, that anyone who chants, Ma Vasudeva Bhaktanam Ashubham Vidyate Kochit, they are saying that, oh, performing devotional service, this bhajanananda is greater than brahmananda. And which is which is incomparable with the stupid, silly happiness that is available in this world. But why am I not able to experience that? Because my mind is not in the process. And as they say, I am where my mind is. So, naturally, if I am doing something and I am thinking happiness is somewhere else, how am I paying attention to this happiness? Right? Some very nice cake is offered to you. Is offered to me, let's say. And I am, without chewing it, I am just swallowing it. Like they put it, right? Some, what is it called? They put some tube, and if I am not able to eat it, they put some tube inside, and by that they provide food. I can't recall what it is called. Huh? Food pipe, okay, fine. So right now, bhakti is working to give some nourishment, just like the food pipe, when the food is provided to the stomach through food pipe. But there is no taste. Right? And so, but when I don't require the food pipe, because anyway my digestive system is good, and so when I chew that food, and then I take it, then I relish it. I don't do it as a ritual to send the food through food pipe to my stomach. Okay, which indirectly gives me nourishment. But there is whole new different kind of happiness in chewing the food and then digesting. The more natural way of digesting food. So the mind needs to be convinced. Therefore Arjuna presents this problem of mind to Krishna. Chanchalam hi mana Krishna pramathi balavadrunam tasyaham nigraham manye vayoriva sudushkaram. O Krishna, I think this mind is so restless. Arjuna is saying, Arjuna's mind is not restless. Arjuna cannot think for a moment anything but Krishna's service. He is eternal associate of Krishna. But his presenting the case of people like me, chanchalam hi mana Krishna pramathi balavad drudam, very interesting. Just now what did he say? Restless. And now he is saying obstinate. How can same thing be restless and obstinate? He is saying it cannot be fixed at one place. And obstinate, pramathi balavad drudam, it cannot be taken from some place. So is it not contradictory? I hope this question is clear. How is it that, how can you explain such contradictory nature of mind? He is saying it is chanchalam, yet pramathi, balavat drudham. Drudham means firm. How can something be firm and restless at the same time? Okay, yeah. Okay, I will explain what he said. Yeah, that's correct, yeah. Yes, bro.
Okay.
Simultaneously restless,
yes. And also, they can be incredibly obstinate and stubborn.
Okay. Yeah, I will. Prabhuji gave the example of child, where it's not contradictory at all. Like we can see, a child could be restless at the same time obstinate. And he also explained. I will just summarize all points. Yes, bro. Okay, yeah. I will just summarize all three inputs. All three are just perfect. I will just put it in a place where we can actually see why it is restless also and drudha also. So combining all these three. So, mind is restless when we want to fix it on Krishna, or where we want to fix it, where the intelligence wants to fix it. And mind is stubborn whenever we want to remove it from something bad. That time it is stubbornly attached to that. That time it is not restless. And when we want to fix it on something, that time it is not drudha. It is not obstinate that, no, I want Krishna bhajan. Like, you know, that time it says that, no, there is something else out there, something. Like, you know, so therefore, simultaneously restless and obstinate. Firm or obstinate, as Prabhuji also mentioned. Yes. When we want to focus on something good, it is restless. When we want to take it out from something bad, it is obstinate. Drudha. Firm. Okay. So, so then what is the solution? And Arjuna is saying, I can control wind by my Vayu Astra. But I cannot control my mind. So then Krishna is saying, yes, Asamshayam Mahabaho, there is no doubt. Mana Durnigraham Chalam. Durnigraham, very difficult to grasp. Chalam. Chalam, restless, slippery. You cannot hold it in hand. Like, you know. Tasyaham nigram mane vayori, sorry. Abhyasena to kaunteya vairagyena cha gruhyate. By practice and by detachment, one is able to do it. Krishna is guaranteeing. So, I would just like to speak of one commentator on this, whose name is Madhusudan Saraswati, who is like Srila Vishwanatha Thakur quotes him many times, who took sannyas from Advaita Sampradaya, but he is a devotee. Okay. Like many, at those times, whenever the Vaishnava Sampradaya was not available, they would take sannyas from Advaita Sampradaya, but internally they were devotees. So this is his commentary, where he says that, can the mind be stopped or controlled just the same way we control our eyes and ears? He is asking this question. Can the mind be stopped or directed or controlled just the same way we control our eyes and ears? Means, if I don't want to see something, I just close my eyes, I don't see the thing. And if I want to see something, I just open my eyes, I see the thing. I focus on that object, I see the thing. And if I don't want to hear something, I just close my ears, I don't hear a thing. With proper soundproofing. And if I want to hear something, I hear it with hearing aids or like paying more attention or something. In the similar way, so easy, right? In the similar way, can the mind be controlled? He is asking the question. Now, what do you think? Yes, just yes or no, that's it. This is a simple question. Can the mind be controlled the same way the eyes are operated? Yes or no? No, yes. Many are saying no, that is correct. That's what Madhusudan Saraswati writes. No, it cannot be. And he gives the reason. Why? He says the locus of mind cannot be traced out. Locus means its location and its movement cannot be traced out in a reliable way, in a deterministic way. This is how the mind will go from one object to another object. We cannot determine. For eyes, it's very simple. This is the entry point, right? We know from where it is entering the scene or the vision. This is the entry point. If I close the entry point, the gate is closed, the trespasser cannot enter. Okay? And for the entry point, for the ears, for the hearing, I know these two are the entry points. Is there any other entry point? No. I just block the entry point and it's as simple as that. I don't hear it. But for mind, you cannot trace out its entry point and exit point. It's very subtle. And therefore, it can come like Putana. She can come by skyway. There is no, even if you even if you have thousands of soldiers guarding the place, still the mind can enter through. It will find its way through. Okay. And therefore, for a practitioner, it is important to know that mind always has two tendencies as long as one is in material world. The mind always has two tendencies. One tendency is to go up and one tendency is to go down. One tendency for good, one tendency for evil. Simultaneously, again, inconceivable and unexplainable. How can same object has two tendencies, right? So it has two tendencies. So either to go towards good or go towards evil. So abhyas will train the mind to go up, and vairagya will train the mind not to go down. Okay, so that's how one trains the mind to always think of Krishna, to always think of the things related to Krishna, Krishna Sambandhi, and toward Jagat Sambandhi things, Vairagya. Or you can say Yukta Vairagya or Vairagya. So both things are simultaneously required, he is saying. Both things are required. It's not one without other, will not do. So this is very instructive for any sadhaka, that abhyasena tu kaunteya vairagyena cha guruhyate. So what is this abhyas? Very simple. The way Ambarish Maharaj showed. Savai mana krishna padaravindayo vachansi vaikuntha gunanu varnane. Then karau harer mandira marjanadau shrutim chakar achyuta sat kathodaye mukundalingalaya darshane drushau. Eyes to see the beautiful forms of the Lord. Tad bhritta gatras parshenga sangamam. The touch sense to touch the devotee means to serve him. Padav harer mandira marjanadau. Rasana tadarpite. Ghanam cha tatpad saroja saurabe. Nose to smell the fragrance from offered to the flower offered to Krishna. And Srimat Tulasya rasana tadarpite. Padav hare kshetra padanu sarpane. The feet are to be used to visit the temple of the Lord or Vrindavan, Mayapur, Jagannath Puri Dham. Then Shiro Rishikesha Padabhi Vandane, the head to bow down to Krishna. Then Kamam Chat Daste Natu Kama Kamyaya, the desire. Again we come to desire. Interestingly, Kama and Prema both have same root. Kama Pri. Kama means to desire, and Pri also means to desire. So both root words mean the same. But just for the sake of disambiguation, we use kama in material world and prema for spiritual world. But even in spiritual world, both words could be applied because both are pure. You know, gopikanam vardhayan kama devam, prajapura vanitanam vardhayan kama devam. So here kama means prema only. Okay. What were we discussing? Kamam tu dasya natu kama kamaya yatha uttama shloka jana sharaya rati. Rati for uttama shloka jana. That means I don't desire, a practitioner doesn't desire to see anyone but devotee. Now for vyavahar or practicality he might have to see non-devotees or like that. But he doesn't desire. His desire is just to see the devotees. So this is abhyas. So therefore Narad Muni also mentions mana. The mind is the first instrument that we offer to Krishna, or the main instrument that we offer to Krishna. Among all the instruments that we have, it is the first one. Therefore what is Krishna's first instruction? Man mana bhava. First thing is, first you offer mind. That is the best thing to do. Remember me, think of my pastimes. Then he says, Madhbhakto. Then Madhyaji. Then Mam Namaskuru. Of course, Madhbhakta here, the one who is doing Manmana is also Madhbhakta. मद भक्त हियर मीन्स डूइंग नवविधा भक्ति, मद याजी मीन्स डूइंग अर्चना भक्ति, एंड नमस्कुरु मीन्स ऑफरिंग ओबेसेंसेस विच इज वन लिंब ऑफ अर्चना और वंदनम भक्ति. सो मन मना मीन्स स्मरणात्मिका भक्ति, रिमेंबरिंग कृष्ण ऑल द टाइम, रिमेंबरिंग हिज नाम रूप गुण लीला. मद भक्त मीन्स नवविधा भक्ति. ओके, ऑल नाइन टाइप्स ऑफ भक्ति, श्रवणम कीर्तनम स्मरणम पाद सेवनम. एंड इफ दैट ऑल्सो वन कैनॉट डू देन मद याजी अर्चनात्मिका भक्ति, वर्शिपिंग. इफ दैट इज ऑल्सो वन कैनॉट डू वंदनात्मिका, जस्ट ऑफर ओबेसेंसेस लाइक दैट. इवन देन ही सेज मई एव मन आधत्स्व मई बुद्धिम निवेशय. आई वॉज डिस्कसिंग विथ वन डिवोटी, हरिवंश प्रभु. सो इट्स मन मना भव. फॉर एडवांस डिवोटीज इट्स वेरी नेचुरल टू गिव देयर माइंड टू कृष्ण, बट इफ दैट इज नॉट पॉसिबल देन एटलीस्ट वी शुड डू मई बुद्धिम निवेश. इंटेलेक्चुअली वी अप्लाई अवर इंटेलिजेंस इन मेकिंग प्लान्स फॉर सर्विस टू कृष्ण, यू नो हाउ द बेस्ट वे आई कैन सर्व, एंड दैट वे वन डे वी विल बिकम मनमना, मई यू नो द माइंड ऑल्सो बिकम्स प्रॉपरली डेडिकेटेड टू कृष्ण. ओके, एंड टू ऑफर माइंड टू कृष्ण, वॉट prerequisite is there, what is needed if you want to offer our mind to Krishna, what particular thing is needed? Focus, attraction, yes. Focus is required, but for to have focus, what is needed? Attraction. And for to have attraction, what is needed? Knowledge, yes, knowledge, true, knowledge is needed, that is true. But even going back further, to have attraction, what is needed? Serve him, yes, but why would you serve him? Appreciation, respect, attraction, almost all of them are in same. Yeah, hearing also, but why would you, what is it that will create attraction? Hearing will create attraction, but what is the in between? Hearing will give what that will give you attraction? Yes, desire you can say. You are saying something? I was looking for, all answers are correct, but I was looking for the word relation. Relation gives rise to emotion, which gives rise to attraction, which gives rise to service, right? And which gives rise to absorption. So therefore, sambandha. So guru establishes our sambandha with Krishna. For anything to have attraction or emotion for anyone, one requires relation, right? You have relation in terms of, you have attraction in terms of some relation. Suppose you like some kind of music, let's say. Because you are expert in that genre, or because you like that genre, that is your relationship with that song, right? You like a particular kind of voice. So it's, why? Because it you have some relationship with that particular thing. It is based on that relation. Why does a mother have emotions for her child? Because of the relation. Right? The relation is established and then there is emotion. Or commotion, whatever. So, based on the relation. Even commotion requires a relation. Right? So, how does one... Therefore, Narad Muni is stressing this point of having some emotion for Krishna so that we can give our mind to Krishna. Therefore, he is saying, Kamat, Dveshat, Bhayat, Lobhat. So all this absorption is, there is a prerequisite of having an emotion for Krishna, and this emotion is based on some sambandha, some relation. So gopis have a particular sambandha for Krishna, the vrishnis have particular sambandha for Krishna, so this gives a particular absorption in Krishna, and this absorption is accepted by Krishna in different ways. So our mind's absorption only makes us our body to work for Krishna. Mind's absorption in Krishna pushes our body also to serve Krishna. Okay. So therefore, any activity that we want to offer to Krishna also happens first in the mind. Many times they say, just one clarification, that in Kali Yuga, the service that is accepted by Krishna, even if by mind one offers service, Krishna accepts that. And the mental sins are not counted. So sometimes it is misinterpreted, thinking that okay, even if it is offense, if it is mental, it is not counted. Is it true? Until and unless it becomes physical. Some say like that. And saying that this is the boon of Kali Yuga. So is it true for offenses? Like one can commit offenses mentally, but not making them come into the physical practice. Will it work? No. Yeah. Mental offense, every offense, even physical offense, starts first mentally only. Then it becomes manifested as the physical offense. So it is important to guide the mind properly always. Not okay. And what are the few examples I was just discussing? Who always were dedicating their mind to Krishna and doing manasi seva. Any examples that come to your mind of manasi seva? Service in mind. The Dakshinatya Brahman cooking rice. So this Dakshinatya is actually even Maharashtra is considered Dakshin compared to the northern area. Okay, so this Dakshinatya Brahman is from Pratishthanpur. You know where is Pratishthanpur? Paithan. Yeah. So this Brahman is called Dakshinatya, but he is from Paithan. That means looks like Maharashtrian. So he is cooking rice in his mind, and then sometimes it is mentioned that he dipped his finger into the kheer to check whether it is cold enough, but that's not how it happened. He accidentally, in his mind, he's holding the pot, and his two thumbs accidentally got immersed into the hot kheer that he prepared in the mind, and they got burned, and he immediately came out of his dream, and his both thumbs were burnt. And then Lord Narayan is laughing in Vaikuntha. Then Lakshmi Devi is asking, why are you laughing? So he's saying, just see this manasi seva of this intense manasi seva of this brahmana, that his hand got burnt in dream, the fingers, and in reality when he woke up, he still found his fingers burnt. So today only I'm going to call him back. So he was given direct entry into Vaikuntha. Any other manasi seva examples? Yes, bro. Narasimhananda Brahmachari. Huh? Preparing a road for Lord Chaitanya. And of course, one should not think that this service is so simple because you don't have to gather anything. This is also difficult. Also difficult because one has to focus one's mind. Wherever Lord is going, he is preparing, and he is, of course, there is more freedom of doing whatever you want to do. So all the flower trees by the sides, different chameli, champa, whatever you like, all the and all the lakes, having cool water and having lotuses in them by the sides of his path. And whole path is, he made it out of jewels, emeralds, pearls, and expensive jewels. And on top of that, he, because the jewels are hard, So therefore he put the layers of the soft petals of flowers. So that was the Manasi Seva. What is the proof that it was accepted? Lord could not go beyond Ramgili. Up to Ramgili only that mental bridge or mental road was made. And Lord went only up to Ramgili and came back. Okay. Any other example of Manasi Seva? Yes. Okay, okay. Making garland, right? In. And the disciple said something, right? Okay, okay. Both guru and disciple are doing Manasi Seva, by the way, here. And the guru forgot to put something? Put some garland? Or Shishya forgot? Guru forgot. So then the disciple is thinking, oh, now what should we do? Because in the actuality he says that no worries, you can offer the garland just like that, you know, over the top of necklace also, something like that, right? So this is the height that somebody is knowing what other person is doing in his mind for Krishna. Okay, so these are some. Also, it is mentioned, this is from, also, when Uddhava comes, Uddhavaji comes to tell the gopis that, oh, pacify the gopis, you are always giving your mind to Krishna, and, but why are you lamenting? Like, you are always thinking of Krishna and you are thinking Krishna has gone away. Krishna has not gone away, he is Paramatma, he is everywhere. So think of Paramatma. And that way you will never feel separation. So there is one Sanskrit verse that they spoke. Ahushyate nalina nabha padaravindam yogeshwari something. I will speak the Vraja version of it. Udhav manana bhay das bis. Ek tha vo chala shyam sang kona avarade is. It means that you are telling me to worship the Paramatma, but I don't have 10 or 20 minds. I have only one mind that went with Shyam, and now where is the mind? Where do I have the mind to worship Ish? Ish means Paramatma or form of Krishna or whatever. who can worship? So like that. So theirs is the height of absorption in Krishna. The mind is totally absorbed in Krishna. They do not know which ornament they are wearing, where. Yogmaya is doing the final touch-up before they come in front of Krishna. So they are wearing wrong garments at wrong places, applying collyrium to feet, and foot lack to the hands, and so on. So the example of absorption. Then we'll see only two verses now and we'll end. So one verse is about how even the demons or the enemies who thought of Krishna, they obtained Sarupya, four-handed Vishnu form in Vaikuntha. Vairena yam nrupatayo shishupala paundra shalvadayo gati vilasa vilokanadhyay dhyayanta akruta dhya shayanasanadau tatsamyamapur anurakta dhyam punakim vairena nrupatayo. Again, some relationship is required, right? This is not bhakti, of course. It is not anukulyana. But vairena yam nrupatayo shishupal, paundra, shalva, they were thinking of gati vilasa vilokana. They were always thinking of Krishna's activities, Krishna's form, because of the enmity. Oh, where Krishna must be right now? What must be he doing? Like that. To criticize somebody also, you have to think of that person, right? Dhyayanta akruta dhya. By such meditation, while they are sleeping, while they are eating, they are thinking of Krishna only. Then, tat samya mapur. If they attend 400 form in Vaikuntha, What to speak of Anurakta Dhyam? Then what to speak of those who give their minds to Krishna as a loving offering? And then there is another verse which is very beautiful also, which says that Kita Peshas Krutam Dhyayan. This is in 11th canto. Kita Peshas Krutam Dhyayan Kudyam Tena Praveshita. Which is very surprising, I mean very, very supernatural phenomena. But a deep science. Yati Tat Samyatam Rajan Purvadeham Purvarupam Asantyajan. Which means, this is explaining one example, where the power of mind, just look at the power of mind. The insect which is caught by this wasp is, what is it called? Detained inside his house. trapped inside it, detained. And that insect keeps thinking in out of fear, keeps thinking of this wasp. And Narad Muni is explaining that without changing the body, that means it's not that the insect is dying and taking birth as the wasp. Without giving up previous body, that body becomes a wasp. It is mentioned. This Narad Muni is explaining that because of continuous thinking, morphed. It is morphed into the wasp. You know, those who have learned computer science, morphing. One form to another form, they write a code to make it morph one form into another form. So that morphing happens. Then what to speak of thinking of Krishna? It is mentioned, yatra yatra mano dehe dharayat sakalam dhiya. What is the science behind it? First, the things happen subtly. Mind takes the form of what we are thinking. Mind is subtle, like water taking a form of what it is put into. Similarly, mind takes form of what I am thinking. And if I am thinking of something intensely, mind is habituated to think of that particular form. And as an outward result, the body will also gain similar form. That's the beauty. Sneha dveshad bhayad vapi yati tattat swarupatam. So it is very important what I hold in my mind all the time. That's very important, because that shapes my mind, and mind shapes the body, future body. What I think shapes my mind, and my mind shapes my future body. So that's how the things work. So therefore it is mentioned, smartavya satatam vishnur vismartavya no jatuchit sarva vidhi nishedasyo etareo reva kinkara. So that's, I didn't discuss the second verse only. I will just quickly speak. It has the same theme, so I'll just speak the translation. Sound, touch, form, taste, smell are all the objects of five knowledge acquiring senses. Speech, touch, movement, evacuation and intercourse are the objects of working senses. Besides this, there is another conception where one thinks, this is my body, this is my society, this is my family, this is my nation. And this 11th function, that is of mind, is called the false ego. One just clarification, why mind is called as false ego? Because actually speaking, subtle body is one. It is one subtle body. By function we call it mind, intelligence or false ego. When that subtle body is doing the function of liking, disliking, we call it mind. When it is doing the task of discriminating, this is right, this is wrong, we call it intelligence. When this subtle body does the task of identifying, this is me, this is not me, this is mine, this is not my mind, this is not mine, it is called as false ego. Very simple. So it is the same subtle body, but the functions. I don't know a proper example for this. Let me think of one. think of some software which can do all different tasks. But when it is playing music, you call it music playing software. Okay. When it is showing video, you call it video software or whatever. And with same software is doing another task of, let's say, cleansing your hard disk or whatever. Then you call it, think of some... Okay, yeah, yeah. You can also. So now when you use mobile for clicking pictures, you call it camera. You don't call it, but let's let's say you have the permission to call it as a camera because it's working as a camera. Okay, so similar way, the mind, when it is identifying, call it false ego. Okay, when it is discriminating, call it ego. When it is liking, disliking, you call it mind. Okay, so this is all I wanted to discuss today. Hare Krishna. Any quick question here? Yes, bro.
And subtle body is made up of mind, like intelligence, false ego. So, also we see on the outside layer of the universe, there are seven layers. Mm. And they're also made up of earth, water, fire, air, ether, and also mind, intelligence, false ego. Mm. So my question is, like in that layer of mind, what is that actually, that layer? Only mind, there is no...
Okay, huh. What is the mind made up of? Mind is made up of mind only. That's only what we can say. Something like they say, what is spirit made up of? We say Sachidananda. So it doesn't make sense. Like, how can you say something made up of happiness? Made up of happiness means some substance. Because right now, my conditioning is I can only think of some object when it has some appearance, some touch, you know. And then it is made up of some five elements. Therefore, I think the spiritual... Now, spiritual things are also made up of five elements, by the way. Yeah? It's not that they are not made up of five elements. They are also made up of earth, water, air, fire. But that earth, water, air, fire are Sachidananda. Making sense? The earth, fire, water in spiritual world is not made up of earth, fire, water. The earth, fire, water is in the spiritual world are made up of Sachidananda. Now it makes sense? So they are not made up of proton, neutron, electrons and all the way we see the matter here in this world. And even if they are made up of proton, neutron, electron, they are also Sachidananda. So, okay, so mind, something made up of how I see it. He is asking, his question is, the universe is covered by seven, each layer 10 times more than before. We can understand earthly layer, we can understand watery layer. How do we understand mind layer, intelligence layer and false ego layer? So, because it's subtle matter, I would say don't think in terms of physical, physically covering the gross layers. I would say that what I think, I understand it this way, that simply moving in a particular direction, okay, one doesn't reach the spiritual world. Suppose you are given infinite fuel and infinite ability to penetrate through anything. Do you think that I move in a particular direction, upward, downward, anywhere, and I have given infinite time? By moving in a particular direction in an infinite, with infinite speed and infinite time, can I reach spiritual world? That is the question. I cannot reach spiritual world. Although Krishna broke through the seven coverings and he went to Mahavishnu's loka, but that was not just because it is physically situated there. I hope I make this point. I will try to make it more clear. Simply by moving in a particular direction, as long as I want, I don't reach the spiritual world. Because all the spiritual world is a location, it is also consciousness. So things become little inconceivable here. So I go to a particular place by consciousness and credits. Not by, just like I go to some place by some vehicle. That is not how one reaches spiritual world. So the layers of mind, intelligence, ego cannot be penetrated simply by some physical vehicle. Okay? They are penetrated through consciousness, raised consciousness, elevated consciousness. Okay? So tomorrow scientists develop, if they develop a very high efficiency space vehicle or rocket or whatever, which has infinite capacity to travel, infinite fuel and infinite everything, and they develop a lifespan which is also infinite, still they cannot reach outside the covering of this universe. That is the way, that is how I see the layers. Okay? You cannot penetrate the mind, intelligence, false ego layer by physical vehicle. That's all I can say. Anybody has a better understanding here? Last question.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Prabhuji, for your nice class. I can catch the point, the how to offer mind.
How to offer mind? That's we discuss. Abhyasena. Tu kaunteya vairagyena chukruyata. Abhyasena means Ambarish Maharaj showed us how to offer our mind. Means offer all our senses and the mind. And how to offer the mind? With mind we things, we think of Krishna's happiness, which could be wishing well for Krishna, which could be doing some mental service to Krishna, which could be planning to do some physical service to Krishna, which could be feeling even affection for Krishna in the mind, is offering mind to Krishna. In the mind, if we feel affection for Radha Krishna, have some feelings for their feelings, that is also mental offering of offering mind to Krishna. Simply remembering Krishna in favorable way is also offering mind to Krishna. Therefore, Narad Muni is saying, na, kenapi upayana mana Krishna niveshe. With some upay, I give my mind to Krishna means what? I think of Krishna. What does mind do? I offer mind's functions to Krishna. What are mind's functions? Thinking, feeling, willing, remembering, relishing. All these functions are offered to Krishna means mind is offered to Krishna. Okay? ओके हरे कृष्णा जय श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय निताय गौर प्रेमानंदे हरि हरि बोल अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की